it's a big day. We got a lot going on. So this month, our theme is the courage to find your way. And we're talking about, Debbie said before, that we're talking, the theme is power, how we can step into our empowerment, how we can step into our spiritual power. You know, and I mentioned this last weekend, and I keep contemplating it a little bit, because power is one of those words that we kind of shy away from. We think to be holy and to be spiritual, we need to be reverent and let go of our power, right? And because we have this concept out in the world that power means overpowering. Power means that if I have power, then you can't. You know, and that's not the truth. When we talk about spiritual power, when we talk about stepping into who we truly are, owning who we are, being that presence without walls and facades and other people's ideas of who we should be. So we're talking about finding our way in this world today. And as you can see, feel for a second, it takes a little bit of courage to do that, doesn't it? It takes a little bit of courage to stand up to your belief when somebody else is telling you the exact opposite of how it should be. And I don't know about you, but I got plenty of family. I got plenty of family and friends who have an idea of the way it should be, and they like to tell me that, you know. And it's not always in alignment with what I believe. And so can we stand into our truth? Can we stand into what we believe and just be ourselves, you know? Let's just be who we are. And, you know, I like to say we're all quirky, crazy, wacky people. Every single one of us, no matter who you are and where you're from, you've got some interesting quirk. So I call it the spiritual quirk, you know? And so can we own our spiritual quirks? So today, I'm talking about, directly from the reading from Oprah's book, is about the fact that our life is guiding us and supporting us in being who we are. And when we can step into our power, when we can step into that presence, and we can step into that way of being, it opens this divine influx of support, this divine influx of guidance. And it's not only from where we think it's supposed to be. It comes from every avenue. Your life loves you so much that it wants you to know what you need to know. And it's gonna tell you and tell you and tell you. And sometimes if you don't listen to it, it bangs you over the head, you know, pretty harshly. And so my intention on this, of course, you know, I like to tell you the end at the beginning, just in case something happens in the next 20 plus minutes, that as we listen, we need to learn to listen to our life. We need to learn to open and allow that signal, that guidance, that wisdom that's coming to us from all these different avenues, and we need to trust it. When life speaks to you, it speaks to you in a way that only you can understand. It's not going to speak to you, I don't know about you, but I don't expect that there will be a burning bush. You know, maybe you got a burning bush in your life, but it's not necessarily that big of a signal. You need to learn how to listen to your life so that you can get the message. So there you go. You've got what you want. What do you want to talk about? Any movie reviews? Just kidding. No. But, you know, we're encouraged to live close to the Spirit and align ourselves with the divine life and to align ourselves with God. And so I went back to the Bible, which is filled. I mean, it's filled with scripture that is telling us this. And it's amazing to me that we're still not doing it. So I thought I'd share a little bit with you. So from 1 Chronicles, it says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." From Isaiah. Now this is one that I never really liked very much at the beginning. But now I understand it in a new way, so I thought I'd share it with you. From Isaiah 30. "In repentance and rest is your salvation." Those words alone would send me running back in the day. "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." So I sat with the word that lit me up, right? Repentance. Repentance? Oh, God, religious science, do we believe in repentance? I don't know about that, you know? So I sat with it for a while, and I did a little deeper inquiry, and what repentance really means is sincere regret or remorse. Okay, so if we take that idea of we get to a place in our life, right, and maybe we've made some choices and we've not listened to the signs and we've found ourselves in some chaos in life. Anybody ever be there? You don't really need to raise your hand. Okay, I know we all have been. All right, so say, but what happens is when we stop and we say, okay, you know what, I don't like this. Hold the game. I don't like this. I would like to go in a different direction. I admit I've gotten myself to this place. I've made some choices. Repentance means taking responsibility. When we can take responsibility for getting ourselves or participating in creating the situation that we're in, that we have a part to play in it, even if it's a situation where we feel victimized, but we've got a part to play. When we can take responsibility for that, and then we can go into that silence, and we can go into that place of quiet, we can be receptive to the divine wisdom. How cool is that? The whole phrase changed for me, because it's a total religious science scripture. When we can stop and listen and be present, we can allow life to guide us. That's my revelation for the week. So I share it with you. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. God is saying it over and over and over again, trying to bang us over the head. You know what? I love you. I'm here for you. Can I help you? Come on, let me help you. Let me help you. But here we are in our lives thinking, okay, I got to do it. I got to figure it out. I have to muscle it myself. I have to work this out. Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we get into these moments of stress and strain and challenge, and we close down. We don't open. We don't surrender and say, help me. We try and fix it, or we try and hide it. That's a really big religious science thing to do, is to pretend that everything's okay. Don't worry, I'm fine. Thanks, I'm okay. It's all good. It's all God. You know how I hate when people say that. It's all good. It's all God. I hate that so much. I don't like it. Because you know what? Yes, it is all good, and yes, it is all God, but you know what? You're suffering right now, and if you are hurting right now, it means that you are in that cycle of creating more hurt because you're pretending that it's not there. And so when we can be present with where we are, when we can acknowledge that we are part of something greater and we can surrender to the moment, we can open to allow God to show up. And so your life is speaking to you. Are you listening to it? I thought I'd start with a story. It's called The Parable of the Flood. I know I've shared it before, but you'll see why I wanted to share it. There was a man who was trapped in his house during a flood. And he began praying to God to rescue him. And he had the vision in his head of God's hand reaching down from heaven and lifting him to safety. The water started to rise in his house. His neighbor urged him to leave and offered him a ride to safety. The man yelled back, I'm waiting for God to save me. The neighbor drove off in his pickup truck. The man continued to pray and hold his vision. As the water began rising in his house, he had to climb up onto the roof. A boat came by with some people heading for safe ground. They yelled to the man to grab a rope. They were ready to throw and take him to safety. He told them he was waiting for God to save him. They shook their heads and moved on. The man continued to pray, believing with all his heart that he would be saved by God. And the flood waters continued to rise. A helicopter flew by, and a voice came over the helicopter. And the man waved the helicopter away, shouting back that he was waiting on God to save him. The helicopter left. The flooding water came over the roof and caught him up and swept him away, and he was drowned. When he reached heaven, he asked God, why didn't you save me? I believed in you with all my heart. Why did you let me drown? God replied, I sent you a pickup truck, a boat, and a helicopter, and you refused all of them. What else could I possibly do for you? Right? It reminds me of one of my our all-time favorite movies. You know I'm a movie buff. So one of my our family favorite movies is Bruce Almighty. And if you don't know it, it's from a number of years ago. Our kids were young then. But it's about a man who has some challenges going on in his life and his career, and it's not going the way he thought it was supposed to go. And he gets pretty mad, and he gets mad at God, and he kind of dares God to say, yeah, right, strike me, whatever, you know. And so what God decides to do is make him God for a week in a 4-block radius in Buffalo, New York. And so he's responsible for all this. That's the whole overview of the movie. But There's this one scene where he's really frustrated. He can't understand why his life's going down the toilet, and he's so upset about it, and he's so angry. He's driving down the road, and he's like rubbing a rabbit's foot, right? And he's rubbing a rabbit's foot, and he's praying at the same time, which I was trying to figure out how that goes together, but whatever. So, and it's Jim Carrey, so it's hilarious. And he's like, come on, God, give me a sign. I need a sign, you know? And all of a sudden, this truck swerves in front of him. And it's a construction truck on the back. It's all of those caution lights blaring, right? Caution, caution, do not go this way. Caution, watch out, you know, be careful. And Jim Carrey's like, the character's like, come on, God, where are you? I don't understand, you know, and it's right in his face. And he's praying and he's waving his hands and all of a sudden he ends up in a car accident, right? Because he didn't follow the signs. And that's the image that has been coming to me all week is that we have signs like that all over our lives, but are we listening to them? Are we heeding them? Because I think sometimes what happens is that we don't trust our own intuition. We don't trust our own knowing that that's a sign for you. If somebody else says maybe that's a sign for you, that maybe you should think about it, maybe we trust it a little bit more. But we don't honor our own knowing. We don't honor our own understanding. And it's only when we can do that that we start to live in harmony. We live close to the Spirit. We let life guide us to where we need to go and where we need to be. Spirit is always supporting you. Spirit is always guiding you. And that I love that concept of the whispers, right? That things start as a whisper. And sometimes we don't listen to it. Sometimes there's something we know that maybe this situation is not really going the way it needs to for me anymore. And I think one of the challenges we face is that change is hard for us. Change and letting go of something that we love is really hard. But we are spiritual beings. And we have come to evolve and grow and expand. We are a recreation of life itself, of God in its expression. God is that ever-evolving creative force that is ever revealing more of itself, that's ever evolving, that's ever coming more into form and into being. And we are, what we call it, is the microcosm of the macrocosm. So we are the small representation of that beingness. And so what that means is that we are always evolving. We always need to be growing. We always need to be changing. And we got to get used to it. Because if we're not used to it, if we hold on, if we white knuckle it, life is going to just be hard and difficult. But as we can understand that we are sourced and supported and loved completely, we can honor those moments in our lives that evolve and change. Because we know that we're stepping into something equally as glorious, equally as supportive, equally as fulfilling, because your soul is evolving. So when those whispers start, what happens? Sometimes you get the idea, maybe this job's not the right thing. Maybe I don't fit here anymore. Maybe it's not good for my career or my growth. Maybe it's just a job and I want something I can really sink into. And then what happens? We ignore it. It's too hard finding a job in this economy. I don't want to give up my retirement, I don't want to rock the boat. I got this down. I can just handle this, you know. But then what happens is things start to shake at work. Maybe you've got a challenge with your boss. Maybe you've got a new project that isn't working out as well. And you're still not following the signs that maybe it's not your place. Maybe it's time for change. And then what happens is you get into a bigger problem. You get into a bigger mess. And then all of a sudden you lose your job, right? And so what the way I think of it is that God whispers and whispers and whispers, and if you're not listening, it gets louder. And so it's going to knock you over the head. We call it the spiritual 2x4. And then if you still don't listen to that, God picks you up by the scruff of the neck and drops you where you need to go, right? I've had that. Anybody else have that, right? And so people will end up in my office and go, I can't believe I lost my job. I can't believe I lost my job. And the first thing I'll say is, what did you think about that job? Oh, I hated it. Right? And it's because we are afraid to let go of what we think is comfortable to step into the evolution and to the expansion. But you don't get to get past that. You don't get to stop. It doesn't matter. Again, I'm going to say, it doesn't matter if you're 2 or 200, anywhere in there. If you are alive and breathing, then you are evolving. And then you've got purpose in your life. and you've got something to share, and it's going to evolve, and it's going to change, and it's going to transform. And the thing is, we want to change our idea of life from a challenge and a difficulty to something to get through to an adventure to be lived with joy, with excitement, with magnificence. That's the picture of life that we're going for. I love Wes Moore, who's a Rhodes Scholar, an Army combat veteran, an entrepreneur, and the author of two New York Times bestselling books. From the Oprah book, he says this. Oftentimes I would think, oh, well, I'm just waiting on God to tell me where he wants me to go. Like, God, tell me. Tell me what it is you want me to do. And I've come to a very clear understanding now. It's not that God's not talking to me. It's that for so long I just haven't been listening. I've been allowing so much of the noise to cloud this conversation I'm supposed to be having. I've been so distracted while he's been sending messages this whole time. So it's funny that we, in my foundations class that we just finished a couple weeks ago, one of the conversations we were having was that oftentimes there's this bewitching hour that we wake up at. It's from 3 to 4 a.m., okay? And so is there something going on in your life that you're not listening to, that there's some message, you're going to be awake from 3 to 4 a.m., because that's when God knocks you in the stomach. It's going to really get you. And if you're not sleeping at 3 to 4 a.m., you're going to remember, Reverend Catherine said I should be listening to what my life is telling me, because it's trying to tell you something. It's trying to tell you something so badly, it's waking you up in the middle of the night, because that's the only thing you're going to be able to listen to is God at that point. The kids aren't talking. The TV's not on. You don't have to worry about work at 3 o'clock in the morning. All you've got is God, and it is trying to tell you something. Am I the only one who ever has that? Nope, yep, okay, yeah, so that's what happens, is that God is going to tell you, but you have to listen to what it's really saying, and not say, no, it's not that God. 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 No, okay, what do you want me to know? And the next step is, give me the strength to step forward in where you want me to go. Guide me. Show me that I'm strong enough to handle what's before me. Because God is also not only our guide, but God is our strength. God is our support. And it is there for you in every possible way, in every aspect. We need to pay attention to that intuitive voice. Again, Carolyn Mace, who was the one who brought me to spirituality and to the science of mind, said this. We have an intuitive voice in us, and we're born intuitive. We are so intuitive that for most people, it's a source of their greatest suffering. Because people hear when they've betrayed themselves. People are very much aware when they are not honest with themselves. It's the voice that says, you shouldn't have said that, or you know that's not right. We need to trust our intuition and not only listen to the divine messages that are coming through our life, but you can't do that until you listen to yourself. Until we can be present and listen to ourselves and listen to what we're feeling, what's really, be honest with ourselves and what is happening in our world. When we can be honest with ourselves and listen to that feeling, listen to that experience, listen to that emotion, then we can open to the greater messages and realize that we are in an unfoldment. But we have to start with our own self. I don't know about you, but I know when I'm snowing myself. I know when I'm using a spiritual platitude to say it's going to be all right, and I'm just trying to shove the fear down, or when I'm pushing away the doubt. But that's not the thing that's going to allow you to manifest. That's not the thing that's going to allow you to step into your belief system. What that's going to do is take all of your creative energy and holding stuff away and put up a new facade that says, I'm fine. It's all okay. You won't get anywhere with that. If there's something you're working on in your life, there's a direction you want to go in, and you're not getting there, it's not working, it's not flowing, you need to open up those bags. Open up your baggage and see what you're carrying around. And usually it's a belief. It's a belief that I'm not smart enough. It's a belief that I'm not worthy. It's a belief. It's a belief that I'm separated and I'm alone. I've been betrayed my whole life and I'm not lovable. Whatever those beliefs are, everybody holds something. We need to be honest with ourselves what we think about ourselves, how we're holding ourselves. And when we can do that, then that intuition, that guidance becomes clear. Oh, God, I'm going to do it. I can't believe I'm going to tell you this analogy, but you're not going to forget it. And I can't believe I'm saying it. It reminds me of my shower. Okay, now, if you knew me from the day I had long hair, I don't anymore, it's growing, but what happens when you live with a woman who has long hair is that your shower drain gets clogged up, all right? So and it takes some time to clean it out, and it's pretty gross if you haven't done that. But that's what happens when we allow all of those negative beliefs, when we allow all of that stuff that we hold about ourselves move into our creative channel, move into that divine channel of creativity and manifestation, it gets gunked up. It gets spiritually gunked up with your negativity, with your negative thoughts about yourself, with all of that. And let me tell you, if you think it's hard to clean out a shower drain in my house, which it is, it was, not anymore, but which it was, just imagine what it is to clean out your spiritual shower drain, right? I told you you're going to remember that one. I'm sorry, sometimes God throws these things in my head and I just have to keep going. All right, so I have a quote that I wanted to share with you from Ernest Holmes. And I got my working science of mind today. My good one, here we go. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, says this. Jesus spent much of his time communing with his own soul, for it is through our inner thought that we contact God. To this remarkable man, out of the silence of his own soul came a direct revelation of his sonship, his oneness with God. Back of the conflict of ideas, back of the din of external life and action, back in the innermost recesses of uplifted thought and silent contemplation, there is a voice ever proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son." Seldom does this voice penetrate the outer world of human experience. Seldom does anyone allow it to perfectly express through him. And so here's the meat. We must learn to listen for this voice. Call it conscience, intuition, or what we will, it's there. No man need go unguided through life, for all are divine at the center, and all are images of the Most High. We need to pay attention to what life is saying to us and where we're being guided. Now, I had an amazing story of this as I made a big deal last week. It was my birthday this week. Thank you for everybody who came Thursday for my little lunch with the Rev birthday party. That was fun. But one of the things that I do every year on my birthday is I go to Glen Ivy, and I got a day at Glen Ivy on Friday with my husband, and it reminded me of one of my favorite stories that happened in my life about this topic. So in 2007, at my birthday, was getting ready to go to Glen Ivy with a girlfriend of mine, and I was pregnant. And I had just gone into my second trimester, and anybody who knows, in your second trimester, your body's starting to expand. You're so uncomfortable. All I wanted to do was float. So I went up there, and I got in the water and was like floating. And then I got out and got into another pool and was floating. And I couldn't do any of the hot stuff, but I could float all day. And I had scheduled a massage. So I'm going to tell my side of this and then the other side of this in a minute. So I was so excited, just please rub my feet, like, oh my God, my whole body's expanding. And I was not one of those cute little pregnant people, like, who had a little belly. I was a house. I knew I was having one kid, and I just turned into a house. And so, sorry, honey. So I was so excited to have this massage, and I showed up in this room. And I'm sitting there and just so excited for the massage. And someone, and I didn't even see the woman who came in to my massage therapist. And she was reading my file. And all of a sudden, she goes, "Reverend Catherine?" And I was like, oh, God. if someone knows that it's Reverend Catherine, I know I'm in trouble. Like, it's not, I didn't go in writing Reverend Catherine, you know. And so what happened was, it was a practitioner from one of the, from the Sun City Center. And this woman's name is Liz Christosimo, and what happened was that she had been contemplating becoming a minister. She had had that call for like a year and a half, and we had talked on the phone a couple of times, and then she went away. Like, we were working through the process, and then all of a sudden she just went away, and she stopped returning my calls, and I said, and that happens sometimes when people are called to something big, right, that they get a little afraid of it, so they kind of step back a little. And so I let her go, and I stopped calling and just waited, you know. And so there I went on my birthday thing, and Liz said, "Oh my God." And I was like, "Oh my God." And she said, "You don't understand." And I said, "No, I don't." And she said, "Well, this morning in my meditation, I got up a half hour earlier because I was up in the middle of the night and I couldn't sleep, and I was really struggling with this, whether or not I should become a minister. And I said in my prayer, God, show me. I need a sign. I need a sign so clear that I need to become a minister that I can't deny it, okay? So what you need to know, and so then at the time, I was the dean of the ministerial training program, and I showed up on her massage table, okay? And so what you need to know is, this was a Friday, I think, and so on any normal day, there's 80 massage therapists at Glen Ivy. On that day, there were 125, and they each do 6 to 8 massages. So there are 800 massages scheduled every day at Glen Ivy, and I ended up on her table. And I was like, well, are you going to finish your application now? And she's like, I think so, you know? And so now she's a minister in Redlands. Reverend Liz Chrysostomo is a minister in Redlands. And it's one of those things that reminds me that when you ask for support, you get it. That your life really does want to support you. That everything is there for your growth, for your expansion, for your wisdom. If you're questioning something, ask your life. If you're in need of something, ask your life. I love that Kerry Washington in this book, she says this, I really believe that if I want something, God has 3 answers. Yes. Yes, but not now, not yet. Or no, because I have something better in store for you. And so when we live close to the Spirit, when we live aligned with the divine life, when we realize that we are guided and supported by something greater than us, if we can move into that belief, remember, it's done unto you as you believe. If we can believe that God works with us in those ways, yes, yes, but not yet, or yep, I got something better coming. If we can live in that belief system, how amazing would our day-to-day flow be in our life? How can we can step into our power and know completely that we are supported and that we can't make a mistake, that there's nothing wrong going on, and that even in those most difficult times when the water's rising, we're going to say yes to the car, never mind the boat or the helicopter. We don't have to wait that long. We can say yes and jump in the truck and be saved because God wants you to be saved. The divine life wants you to live fully. We need to learn to trust life and God and ourselves. We need to learn to listen to the truth that is being spoken to us and through us. Follow your heart. Trust your intuition because you know what? It matters. It really matters and makes a difference in our life. And you know why? Because you matter. You're important. You are part of this divine life, and the infinite one wants you to be fully expressed because the world needs you to be fully expressed. And so as we step into this week, I'm going to invite you to listen to your life. I'm going to invite you to see the signs. And if you wake up at 3:00 in the morning, please don't call me, but listen to God. And so it is.